Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all who are with him. Bless the Lord. Exalt him and praise him. Hallelujah. We are so happy, super excited that you have joined us. And when I say us, myself, Carnita Smith, and Minister Harold Copeland on this broadcast, Mission from the Heart. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We want to encourage you to continue to be a part of this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio. We are going to continue in our lesson today, as we've always brought this wonderful series that has been a delight to my soul, and I pray that it has been to you as well, as your growing spurts spiritually, and that it has been a nourishment to your soul, that you would be God's beautiful instrument to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what ministry is about, telling people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we are going to continue with the continue with the teaching lesson. Teaching lesson, the very nature of God. This is a delightful series that Brother Harold has been just studying for and laying before the Lord and asking the Lord to use him in a magnificent way for us to hear from God through his word. And so the very nature of God, if you haven't gotten it now, the very nature of God is agape love, God's unique love, very unique. And this is what Minister Harold and I have been sharing with you through the scriptures. The nature of God is possessed in every born-again believer. Yes, it is, by way of the Holy Spirit. So when acceptance of Jesus Christ by faith is exercised by you, me, and so many others, and we are saved by God's amazing grace, is when the Holy Spirit instantly enters into the heart and resides. God himself fills you with himself. Now, isn't that amazing? God himself fills you and I, us, the body of faith. He fills himself with us, with himself. Your new nature possesses and filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And we know that to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are so important for us to allow God to use, shape, form within us, and that it would come through us for others. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, according to Galatians 5, verses 22 and 25. So I'm going to have Minister Copeland to come and on the mic today and just continue to walk us through, hand in hand, through the scriptures with under the umbrella of discipleship, but our focus is the very nature of God. Minister Copeland?
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hello again, everybody. Reference came out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. We welcome you to the broadcast today, and we release the blessings of God upon you. As was said, I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host minister, Kenita Smith, we are in studio together again on this day. We'd like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart radio broadcast. We always want you to know that it is an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you, and we thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. Every time you open your heart to receive the Word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart that will release his divine plan for your life. And you too shall stand and fulfill God's destiny. He has purpose for you. As was said earlier, we are still on the series under the umbrella of discipleship. And our focus today is the true nature of God. And as Minister Smith so eloquently said, if you haven't caught it yet, the true nature of God is the agape, the unconditional love of God. No matter what been taught before, whatever it was, it cannot and will not, never ever will replace the very essence, the true nature of God, the unconditional love of God. We're going to go and dive right into the teaching. And you know, we always like to start out with our launch pad scripture. And our launch pad scripture for this series is Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 16 through verse 20.
Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
Amen. Now, our foundational scripture for the topic, the true nature of God, comes out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. That's Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 16 and reading all the way through verse 21.
that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Now, last week, we left off with modeling. And we allow the scriptures to model the difference between the Old Testament, Old Covenant, and the New Testament, New Covenant. We allow the scriptures to model God relationship with the Old Covenant people, Old Testament people, and we're going to enter into God relationship with his New Covenant, New Testament people. And we showed that although God's true nature is the agape, the unconditional love of God, in the natural realm, when he related to the old covenant, his love was hard to see. And you have to go back to the podcast to listen. But we showed that was because God had to deal with sin before he can get to man and the old covenant. And we made it known that the old covenant was B.C., before the manifestation of Christ, before the manifestation of Christ in the flesh, him being empowered to forgive sins, and God can go straight to man, and God didn't have to deal with sin. The Old Testament was Christless, so there was no redemption, and sin wasn't dealt with. So God had to deal with sin, and God dealt with sin harshly. And we see in the New Covenant in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. We use examples of Old Covenant personalities, how God dealt with them in their sinful way. We used Ahab and Jezebel. And to make a long story short, the dogs end up eating them and licking their blood. That was their punishment. And we made it known that they were easily two of the most wicked people that had ever lived in the earth. And by far, they were the most wicked kings that the nation of Israel had. And we saw that once they died, their son Ahaziah became king, and he was just as wicked as them, and he rejected God. And at one point he was sick, and he sought out the God called Beelzebub through the prophets. God confronted him and asked, is there not a God in Israel that you have to seek, that false God of Beelzebub of Ekron? And you have to go to the podcast as we set this up. So to make a long story short, Elijah had to call down fire to kill the captain in his 50, and then to kill another captain in his 50. And harshly, God was dealing with sin. And sometimes that wages, that payment was death. Now, as we step into the New Testament, the New Covenant, we're going to let the scripture model the relationship between the agape, the unconditional love of God, and his New Testament, his New Covenant people. And we're going to have to take a moment to set this up, and we're going to let the scripture model the scenario for us. And we thank God for our anointed reader and leader as she goes to the book of John. That's the book of John, chapter number 4. And in setting up the scenario, we need to harmonize the New Testament relationship to the Old Testament relationship. She will read John 4. She will start with verse 1 and end with verse 30. Let's set it up.
John 4, verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For the disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, How is it you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you, Jews, say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be Christ?" Then they went out of the city, came to him.
Amen. And what we set up here is Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, was received by a Samaritan woman. She received him as the Messiah. She became the first evangelist, and she called all the people to come see. So let us read verses 39 through 42, and let's see the response of the people. 39 through 42.
And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. 42. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world."
Amen. The Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ, was befriended, received by the enemy of the Jew, the Samaritan. And they became friends. Now, let's look and see what happened in the book of Luke. The book of Luke, the 9. The book of Luke, chapter 9. Verses 51 through 53. The scriptures are being modeled for us.
Luke 9, starting in 51. "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem."
And we need to understand that Jerusalem was the place that God commanded to be the center of worship for the Jews. That's why Jesus had to end up in Jerusalem, passing through Samaria again. God's temple started in Jerusalem. Covenant was in Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant is where God's spirit dwelled. Very essence of his raw spirit dwelled in the Ark. So this time we see in Luke 9, remembering John 4, that Jesus had already ministered to the Samaritan. And he saw the entire city of Samaria respond to him. The entire city had accepted Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one of God. But now this time, in Luke 9, when Jesus came through their town, they did not receive him because they knew he was going to Jerusalem to worship. And they thought that the Jews was a bunch of hypocrites. They rejected Jesus, the Samaritans, this time rejected Jesus because of his association with the Jews in Jerusalem. And this was a religious rejection, and this was a racial prejudice. And for them to reject Jesus under these conditions, it was pretty serious. And two of the disciples, James and John, they had an Old Testament, Old Covenant, a personality of the old reaction. And let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 54, and see how they reacted.
Luke 9, And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?"
James and John, they was justified in wanting to kill the Samaritans because they rejected Jesus. And we remember the story of Elijah in the Old Covenant when he called down fire to kill the soldiers, well, who rejected God. So in the New Covenant, they rejected Jesus, and Jesus is God. So it's the same rejection of God. So James and John wanted to call down fire, because this was a serious rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the serious rejection of God himself. They were simply trying to imitate Elijah. And we know that Elijah was one of the greatest men of God that ever walked in the earth. They were using a scriptural example. They was acting on the word of God. They was doing what Elijah had done. But let's look and see in the New Testament, in the New Covenant era, how Jesus responded to them. Let's read Luke chapter 9, verse 55 and 56.
"But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village."
Amen. And that's the major difference between the Old Testament, Old Covenant relationship with God and the people, and the New Testament, New Covenant relationship with God and his people. The difference isn't that blank page that is between Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, Old Covenant, and Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament and the New Covenant. The real difference is that last verse, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Jesus rebuked James and John for trying to do what was done under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. He rebuked them for trying to be like Elijah. And as you can remember, we talked about individuals that in this modern day body of Christ that try to imitate Old Testament personalities. And because Elijah was one of the most powerful Old Testament personality, they choose him because it makes them look good. And we read scripture that showed us that in the New Covenant, the New Testament, the only one God tells us to follow after is Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself said, "If you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. Any man that do not come after me cannot be my disciple." Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And even one of the most powerful men in the New Testament, the New Covenant, Apostle Paul, we read a scripture where he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And we've made it be known that the unwritten statement in their ears, if I stop following Christ, then you stop following me. So James and John got rebuked by Jesus for trying to follow after one of the most powerful men of God who ever lived in the Old Testament. And this doesn't mean that what Elijah did was wrong. No. It was a different testament, a different covenant, a different time, a different way God had to deal with people because sin was not taken care of. And the Son of Man has not come to give man's life. God was dealing with man differently in that era. He was dealing with man differently because of that barrier they call sin. And maybe today you have a sin barrier that is probably blocking your way from seeing the true nature of God. Maybe that sin barrier is lying to you and telling you that God is mad at you. And because of those lies, you can't hear the truth of the word of God, that God is going to get you. God is going to put sickness. He's going to put disease on you. God is going to let something bad happen to your body. Well, I tell you what, that barrier is a lie. And the voice of that barrier is not truth. And there, the truth has been manifested in our era, in our testament, in our covenant. And the truth is speaking for us. The truth, the blood of Jesus Christ has finished, has removed that barrier. And I like how my friend, Minister Kenita Smith, said that has become a bridge. Amen. Not a barrier to keep us away from God, but has become a bridge that will take us to the very heart of God. And we can hear the voice of God speaking to us, him telling us how much we love us. And once that barrier is removed through the power of the Spirit of God, God will give us a true, a greater relationship of his love that he has for us. And this is the hour that all lies must be mute in the mighty name of Jesus, and that the truth of God must come forth through the word of God. For Jesus said that if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall know the truth. Know in your knower, that intimate relationship, and the truth will make you free. And I know God is pulling by the power of his Spirit, drawing people in by the power of his Holy Spirit, because this is your time and this is your hour. So I am going to stop, drop, and pray, and I will turn the mic over to Minister Kenita Smith and let her take us to the cross.
The Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Minister Harold Copeland, for exposing the word of God to us and expounding on the word of God to us. And now it has come to the time where Mission from the Heart extends the word of God to you.
we extend to you Jesus Christ through salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave. He paid the penalty for our sin and bridged the gap between God and people. He did this. According to 1 Timothy and 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Don't miss that. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Now that's 1 Peter 3:18. He also said in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God has provided the only way. He has provided the only way for us. Each person must make a choice. Choose sin in a sinful world, or we choose life through Christ, eternal. Now that's the choice that you will need to make. And so today, God has created this day for you to make a choice. He's been nudging you. He's been gently speaking to you in his own way, and you have ignored him. And he has been patient with you. One of his natures, one of his characters, patience. He's been patient with you and has allowed you to inhale and exhale and woke you up this morning, today, that you would say yes to Christ. Now, this is what the Father has done for you. And so many times you have taken that for granted. The very breath that we breathe, in and out, something that we have no control over, only God the Creator. And so we just want to take this special time right now for you, as you humbly come to the throne of grace the best you know how. Don't think about what you said last week to that person. Don't think about what you may have been thinking before you joined us on the broadcast. Don't even think about how you acted toward others that may not be easy to love. Just stop, drop your head, fall on your knees, care of what you know God has been knocking on the heart of your door. The door of your heart to come in and sup with you. You join us every week for discipleship through Mission from the Heart, maybe out of curiosity, maybe out of uncertainty, but today you can have a blessed assurance of your eternity.
and God has made a way. Remember, Jesus Christ is the bridge between a sinful world that is so easy to hold on to clench to cleave to, and not let go. But there's better. There's gooder. There's Jesus, the Messiah, who's paved the way, made the way for us. He is the bridge to our God, a glorious God, a almighty God, a sovereign God. He promises that nothing or no one can pluck you, snatch you, take you from his hand. He promises that. So fear doesn't have to create doubt. Doubt creates stuck, sit, soak, and sour. No. Those are from the enemy who fights hard to keep you where you are. But he is a liar, and he is the father of lies. But you, God has been calling you to him. So let's go to the throne of grace at the feet of Jesus, making your petition known to him. Now, again, it's just my words, but your heart, and God sees the heart of every man and woman. And he knows yours right now. So don't try to fake and shake and shuck and jive with a God who created you in the very womb of your mother. He knows you better than you know yourself. So we encourage you sensitively, seriously, lovingly, and you humbly to the feet of Jesus, asking. So let's do this now. So my brothers and sisters who are listening to the broadcast, if you would partner with Brother Harold and myself and others around the world interceding for those who are listening who do not know Christ, Jesus Christ, who have not given their life to him, today is the day. Lift up those ones that the Lord has placed on your heart. Call them by name and pray and intercede for them to come to know Jesus through salvation. Don't give up on them. They may be stubborn as a wild donkey, but do not give up on them, my brothers and sisters. Continue to stay in the trenches, praying for them, interceding for them, calling them by name, that Jesus will meet them at the door of their heart. So let's pray for those who are listening today. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life today. I sit, I stand, I'm bending, I'm laying on my stomach with outstretched hands, Lord, as humble as I know how, asking you, surrendering to you my life, my heart, my every being, my soul. Lord, I know you promised that you will never leave me or forsake me. I'm doing the best I know how. and that is to come to you and surrendering my life. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I have nothing to give but myself, my life. I've messed up. I've been rude and mean, and I know I'm not worthy. But I've been told, and I've heard your voice, that you love me. And Lord, I thank you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I believe that wholeheartedly, Lord God. You know me better than I know myself. Save me, Lord God. Save me. I accept you, Jesus, by faith, because I know it is only your saving grace on my life. Lord, I surrender to you. I love you with all of my heart and soul. And I know that your promises are true. For what I've read in Scripture, what I've heard in discipleship ministry, that Jesus is the only way to you, God. And I want to trust and obey. I want to grow in grace and trust and obey you. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Wow. Amen and amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The angels are praising God and celebrating and just giving honor to God because of you. You have given your life to Christ. Hallelujah. And we just trust and believe by faith that you have done what you said you were going to do. You said you were going to do it one day, and today is the day that he has allowed you to give your life to Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. We are excited for you, Brother Harold and I, and we encourage you, my brother and my sister, to seek out a Bible teaching church in your community, whether it be in person or online. Seek out a Bible-believing church and be baptized by submersion of water, that when you arise, you have let the world know that you are a Christ follower. Praise God. Also, we encourage you to seek out a small group discipleship class in addition to your continuing with Mission from the Heart radio and or a Sunday school class. Maybe a small group in your community that meets regularly in person. Just maintain safety. Stay safe. And we just rejoice for you. Now keep in mind, we're excited. Yes, you are excited, but the devil is mad. He is so mad at you for what you did. Stepping out on faith, trusting God, anchoring yourself in Him and Him alone. Oh, is He upset with you? But that's okay. Jesus' word says, fear not. Hallelujah. Fear not. And you said, yes, Lord, I will trust and obey. As the old hymn says, there's no other way but to trust and obey. Hallelujah. So we just are excited. We are just happy for you to be a part of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Minister Harold, I'm going to turn it over to you for a few words.
Yes, my brothers and sisters, I welcome you into the body of Christ, to the family of God, children, sons, and daughters. The word says those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. God has placed His Spirit in you already. And as Minister Smith said, as you begin to trust the Word of God and obey the Word of God, the Spirit will empower you to overcome that you couldn't overcome in your own strength. He's the highest power. You may thought that a great power was working against you that you couldn't free yourself from, but now you have been united to the highest power, and every other power must bow down to Him. And you can call His name anytime. For the Word of God tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess Jesus is Lord. And everything that was hindering you will begin to bow and confess Jesus as Lord. And you shall get the victory that God ordained for you to have on this journey, and the plan and purpose that He has for your life. Remember, we love you, but God loves you more. And we'll speak with you again next week concerning the true nature of God. Minister Smith.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, we will be back, and we encourage you to come back and continue to grow and go in grace. This is what God wants us to do, grow. And as we read in Scripture every week pertaining to this teaching series, The Very Nature of God, we read Matthew 28:16-20. Study it. Get it in your Noah. And it says, go, G-O. And this is the ministry work of every believer in Christ Jesus, that we go out into all the world. This is what He wants us to do, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is exciting. It can be challenging, but it is worth it, because who gets the glory? God gets the glory. He will be glorified through us as we continue to be His earthen vessel, His hands, His feet, His mouth, as we go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So always remember, my brothers and my sisters, that the grass wither, the flowers fadeth, we see seasons pass and seasons go. But the Word of God, oh, you can bank on it. It will remain forever and ever. God bless you, and have a blessed rest of the week.